Amy, we've got a bunch of little nieces and nephews between us, but we've also got a catch-all gift that all of our siblings love for their newborns.
You're totally right, and it's Pampers Swaddlers, because Pampers Swaddlers wick wetness away to keep babies drier and subsequently parents happier.
Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better versus the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex.
Now you can try Swaddlers with new Pampers-free and gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes won't tear. In fact, they grip mess, shall we say, more firmly and clean better, leaving baby skin dry, soft, and smooth.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fresh Take from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy. Today, I'm talking to Chelsea Gooden. Chelsea has been an academic tutor and mentor for 16 years with a particular emphasis on the empowerment of teenage girls. She speaks regularly to audiences about gender justice and serves as the mentorship director of Democracy, working to support girls from underserved communities into leadership positions. The book that we are about to discuss today is the USA Today bestseller, Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls, which has been recommended by Oprah Daily and Oprah's Book Club, which said, and I quote, "If you have a teenage girl in your life, you need to read this." Amazon's editorial director chose Underestimated as one of her top five editor picks for best nonfiction for the month of March. Chelsea Gooden's passion to explore humanity's potential for authenticity, liberation, and empowerment permeates all of her work, and I am so excited to talk to her today. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
So your book starts with the stereotypes that teenage girls suffer under the weight of often before they become teenage girls. For me, as soon as I became pregnant with a girl after two boys, I copped to it. I had preconceived notions. This is going to be hard. Girls are complicated. Other girls are complicated. This is going to be hard. Anybody who's had a two-year-old girl has had somebody walk up to them and be like, just you wait until she's a teenager, all that stuff.
You're in for it.
Yeah. And that the shotgun jokes that dads are supposed to make and the mean girls that everybody dreads. There's so much negative, stereotypical stuff around teenage girls.
Fear. So much fear.
It's fear. Okay. So that's where it's coming from. Fear on whose part? On our part?
Yeah. I feel like just in society too, they've created this fear around it that they are horrible to deal with and that they're crazy and mean and dramatic and that you're going to fight with them all the time or they're going to date some horrible boy that you're going to hate. Just, it's everyone kind of really dials into those stereotypes and propagates them, you know, spreads them and tries to make light of it. But what it does is just creates, like you said, so much negativity. And then teenage girls themselves hear it and absorb it. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't make them feel good about themselves. And I feel like it's a self-perpetuating cycle, as fear always is. The more you put it out there, the more it spreads. Rather than, I am such an advocate with this book of trying to be their microphone and portal for their voices of what they want to say to the world, which is really wise, and we're underestimating them is basically what's happening.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because the title, obviously, Underestimated, and your thesis is that we are underestimating teenage girls, and it's our loss, and it's at their peril. But how does that sort of fear and negativity flip into us also underestimating them?
Well, it quiets their voice. So we put our preconceived notions and fear, and then they just shut down. You know, we always talk about actually teenage girls closing off, shutting down, being like, whatever, and just not talking to you, because fear silences them and negativity silences them, and that they don't feel valued. They don't feel respected. They don't feel heard and seen. They feel judged. If I were to say anything, is that teenage girls feel so, so judged. And that makes them be like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to even talk then.
So you wrote this book to hand the microphone back over to them, so to speak.
Exactly.
And then based on your many years of working with teenage girls.
Exactly. Because I mean, my one-on-one time, I mean, the things they were saying, I was like, oh my gosh, the world needs to hear this. You're so smart. You know, you have such good perspective on not only her own problems, but the world's problems too.
So what do teenage girls want us to understand that we've been misunderstanding? I think the whole book's about that, but let's start with some of the things that you're hearing from them.
Right. Well, and each chapter is a different issue they face, but we all face, honestly, you know, whether it's people pleasing, perfection, feelings, sexuality, shame, self-doubt, right? Like these are things we all struggle with. And I believe that those wounds happen in our teenage years. You know, a lot of our insecurities really set up shop and get going in our teenage years. And we carry them into womanhood and adulthood. And I'm very excited about what if we started addressing these earlier, we could change the trajectory for all women. I have a lot of adult women reading the book who don't even have daughters who are realizing how much they're healing their own inner teenage girl in this process too.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar. There's an author named Judith Warner, and she wrote a book called And Then They Stopped Talking to Me. I'll put the link in the show notes to that interview because it was a couple of years ago now. But that was the sort of thesis of the whole book, that we come to our children's, mostly daughters, preteen and teen years with all of this trepidation and all of this baggage that is really us not having fully unpacked what happened to us in middle school.
Exactly. You know, yeah, you just said it so well, because that's been my experience of our triggers, right? We all have our own triggers that are due to our own stories. And we tend to project that onto the girl. And she's a little like, that's not my story. Like, and then she's just like, whatever, shut down, close off. There's just such a shuts off communication so fast.
Well, anybody who has a teenage girl would probably agree that there are times when they seem very interested in talking to you and downloading all sorts of things about their day. And other times when you're just getting nothing, good, fine. Why are you asking me? You know, you get nothing. So as a parent of a teenage girl, how do you get, if a teenage girl wants to be more understood by her parent, how does that parent get the teenage girl talking to her?
Yeah, this is such a fantastic question. I'm totally here for it because I've definitely had an incredible amount of girls really open up to me and invite me into this rare space of trust. And so I'm trying to communicate that, those skills, those tangible, practical tools out to the world. And first of all, it's also okay if a teenage girl doesn't share everything with you. It's a total normal developmental stage for them to have their own things going on. That said, I have learned that just listening and not judging is the first step. We're just like, hey, I'm just going to listen to you and actually say it out loud. Hey, I'm just going to listen. Like, do you want me to just listen while you talk? And I'm not going to come in with advice or try to fix it or anything. Like, I'm not going to try to slap positivity on it. And then she feels safer. And then when that kind of environment starts happening, I always say too, if you do follow up with, you always follow up with a question. You phrase as a question so that it invites just a genuine curiosity rather than what she often feels is like a secret agenda of you trying to teach her something or, you know, what you want her to do, you know, control her in some way. And she can feel that. Teenage girls are so smart and they know the truth of things very well. And so the more you can frame, listen, don't judge, then phrase as a follow-up question, just like, okay, well, what do you think more about that? Or what do you think the solution is? I'm always about putting the solution in the girls' hands because they come up with way better solutions usually than I'm thinking. And it empowers her then too to also check in with herself and be like, wait, what do I think the solution here is? And she can start figuring out for herself what are healthy choices. And then affirm afterwards too. Don't, again, jump in with your idea. Be like, wow, that was really smart. I hadn't thought of it that way. That was a cool angle. I didn't, you know, I hadn't approached it from that direction before. You know, just really specific affirming where she's like, oh, okay, I came up with a smart idea. Like my parent trusts me. My parent respects my voice in these conversations. And the more that dynamic is built out, the more I find she steps into her power and voice.
I felt very called out in this part of the book in a good way. You know, the whole thing about having a discussion with your teenager, they have their detector for a secret agenda on the part of the parent is very highly tuned.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, often I have a secret, like, let's have an open-ended conversation about what you're going to spend your time doing this summer. And of course, in my head, I'm like, it's A, B, and C. We're going to have a conversation, quote unquote, that gets us to you agreeing to do these three things with your time this summer.
Right. Well, good. And, you know, there's a radical honesty chapter. And I say use that as a tool, too, because I'm always like, whoa, wait, I might have a secret agenda here. Like, I'll just call it out and say it and be like, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm working to let go of this. But like, this is actually what I want you to do. But I'm really trying hard to approach you right now with an open mind and listen to what you have to say about this. You know, just actually say the truth. And a girl respects that. She's always like, oh, okay, well, they're being real with me. So I'll be real with them. And I find that's very helpful. And then, you know, at the end of the day, what is the real goal? Is to connect and feel connected and with the girl. And she's going to like you as much as she likes herself through your eyes. And so the more she can feel like seen in her specificity and also like, okay, they respect me, they trust me, the more she's going to listen to you also because she feels a part of the conversation. She feels respected. So if she likes that you are respecting her voice, she's going to respect your voice in turn.
Can you say that again? That she's going to like herself as much as what?
She's going to like you based off of how she sees herself through your eyes. And if she sees through your eyes that you respect her, that you think she's smart, that she has something to say that's important, then she's going to feel that and be like, and really rise to the occasion. I actually find she rises to the occasion with smarter ideas. And then she's going to listen to you more too, because she really feels that respect, that mutual respect. So then maybe when you do contribute your idea of what she should do that summer, you know, if you've given a lot of space for her voice first, she's going to listen.
That makes so much sense. Okay, I'm talking to Chelsea Gooden. She is the author of the USA Today bestseller, Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls, and we'll be right back. Margaret, I've got a go-to baby shower gift that I give whenever there's another newborn in my life. Can you guess what it is?
Amy, three guesses. First two don't count. It's Pampers Swaddlers.
Exactly. Pampers Swaddlers keep baby's skin dry, happy, and healthy. Pampers Swaddlers absorb wetness better than the leading value brand and provide up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation.
Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance, hypoallergenic, and free of parabens and latex.
Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes for healthy baby skin. These wipes are 5 times stronger, gripping mess more firmly, shall we say, and making diaper changes a breeze.
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. Then redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers Cash has no cash value.
So I have been taking my Nutrafol regularly, and oh my goodness, it works!
Friends, I'm here to say, ditto, it works.
I mean, most of us will experience hair thinning at some point in our lives, and yes, it's perfectly normal, but if you also see your part getting a little wider, join the over 1 million people who are doing something about it with Nutrafol.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding.
Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow based on your age, your lifestyle factors, because a one-size-fits-all approach to hair products isn't practical.
Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth by targeting key root causes of thinning like stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism.
So take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code LAUGHING.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code LAUGHING.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code LAUGHING. Let's talk about Mean Girls, which is, you know, certainly like the elephant in the room when we sort of envision teenage girls, that we all think our daughter is going to be victim to this, you know, these mean girls that roam the streets in packs, apparently, right? They'll never be one themselves, not our daughters, never, never, never. But it's like, it's this thing that's out there. But you argue that this is maybe not so much of a thing as we are led to believe.
Yeah, I have thankfully seen a generational shift with Gen Z. Okay, so our, you know, older generations, there was indeed limited space at the table for women, right? Like, they were only hiring one woman at that boardroom table. And we were taught at a young age to compete, whether it was for a career or for a man. And there was just a completely different energy around it. Whereas with Gen Z, there is a media narrative of girls supporting girls, women supporting women, right? Like, Taylor Swift has been like that. There's been a good amount of celebrities that have supported this narrative. And you'll see it with girls. They love to gas each other up and comments of like, you're amazing. Amazing, da, da, da. You know, they put tons of exclamation points in the culture of girls supporting girls. And we're all still messy human beings that are all dealing with stuff, right? But this is where I've seen another cool difference is when there is a mean girl situation, because things happen, Gen Z is so into mental health and psychology in a way that I've never seen before from a generation. They love learning about it and reading about it, that I can take a whole new approach with them where I say, well, what do you think about that girl who's being the mean girl? So this idea of mean girls, I always laugh about it because it's not like girls came out of the womb mean. It's as if we've like decided that's just the way it's going to be, right?
Right. Unavoidable. Right.
Yeah. And no, it's a society that's quite harshly judging them, not making them feel emotionally safe. Like they put up walls in reaction to everything else. So I want to be fair to the girls themselves right now. And again, I'm always advocating for them where I'm like, yeah, no, it's not cool that everyone's just throwing you into this box. But how do we deal with those moments of, you know, girls to girls, things not going well? And I will say there has been a beautiful generational shift with Gen Z, where there is a lot more of an attitude of girls supporting girls, women supporting women. We've seen it in a media narrative with Taylor Swift putting that out there. And a lot of, you know, big celebrities put that out there. And I can feel the difference because I was from an older generation that was that feeling of there being limited space at the table for a woman, right? That one job at the boardroom for that one woman, and we'd all have to compete for the job or all compete for the man's attention. That's what we were taught to do. Whereas girls these days are like, wait, what? No, like she's awesome. And there's a lot more, you know, what they call gassing each other up. And, you know, even comments on social media, everyone's always worried about the bullying on social media, but I see a lot more of social media comments just being like, you're amazing, like, you know, with tons of exclamation points. But when there is a mean girl situation, because we still are messy humans, another cool thing that I've seen with Gen Z is that they're very into mental health and psychology. And I can take an approach of activating their compassion. So I'll often say, you know, what do you think that girl's home life is like, that the girl who's being a mean girl? And they'll often be like, oh, I don't know, or dad's never around, or mom criticizes her all the time. They often know, like, the girl's not in the best situation. And I was like, oh, well, what do you think about that? I mean, she might be functioning out of her own pain. She might not be in a good place, and it's not about you. And she's trying to make herself feel better by making someone else feel worse, and it sucks. And the girl's usually like, wow, yeah, that does suck for her. And they get that separation of it's not about me. That it's that idea that hurt people, and that there's a cycle of pain that continues. And when you break it down and from a psychology standpoint, the girls love learning that. They love knowing about it and understanding mental health. And it's been really cool to see how quickly a girl can get into a compassionate place. And that's where, again, I admire girls so much, and we're underestimating them.
Let's talk about the likability. Another thing that I think is changing for today's teenage girls, that you need to be liked and you need to conform, versus that the ability to be authentic and be who you really are. I feel like that wasn't even available to me until I was well into my 20s.
Well, I lean in hard with the book with this, right? Because I have the perfection chapter, the people-pleasing chapter, and then I take us on a journey toward what is authenticity in the identity chapter. And yes, this is the space that matters, because I do think there's still a ton of pressure on girls to be perfect and likable. And if anything, that is actually a root cause of a lot of their anxiety that we're seeing in girls' lives today. And that people pleasing, where you're putting everyone's needs before your own and kind of just saying, it's fine, and just not really sharing your truth of that you might be struggling with something. And because they just want to be likable and come off as perfect. And the more I get in there with conversations where I'm like, hey, it's not fine. Like, that sounds awful. Do you want to just talk about it? You know, just make room for their feelings and space for it, for them to have displeasing feelings like frustration and disappointment and anger. You know, there's not a lot of room for girls to express that and women to express that, right? So I try to make a lot of room for that so they can have space. And then you're right. Then what happens is they start connecting with their authentic self. That's like, what are my needs? You know, what do I like? Do I like playing this sport, or would I rather do something else? And I love reconnecting that for them, or not even connecting for the first time, where there's a lot of space to explore all parts of their identity.
You're talking about girls being angry and having space for anger. I mean, sometimes I'm thinking of women, I guess, when I say this, is often your anger will be expressed with tears, or tears are part of it. And then that becomes a further sign of your weakness, or at the very least, something that needs to be stopped and put back in its box as quickly as possible.
Exactly. Exactly. Like adult women, right? We're taught how to really repress and stuff and contain any big feelings because God, you know, the world is going to judge us for them
right.
as weak, like you just said, or all these different labels. So that's another part of this book is, you know, teenage girls are well known for their big feelings and they're judged for them. And I actually think all human beings have big feelings. We just get really good at stuffing them and we deal with them in a midlife crisis in our 40s with a therapist, right? Instead, you know, I find that when I just hold space for those big feelings that girls have it and I just reflect back like, yeah, that sounds awful. That does sound frustrating. That sucks. They're like, oh, thank you. And they relax and they're like, God, no one understood me, you know? And that's all you need usually is just to actually feel the feeling.
You have a neuroscientist in your book that said that a feeling is felt for about 90 seconds and that you just...
Yeah, they found that truly just processing it takes about 90 seconds. If you really commit to actually feeling, it's really scary to feel big feelings, especially things like anger. But the more you can name it, like I have a feelings wheel in the book. And the more, oftentimes our vocabulary is like, I'm sad, I'm angry, and we can't find the word. And I found the feelings wheel is so helpful to get more clear. When I landed on disappointment, and realizing how intense and powerful that emotion is, being like, oh my gosh, I'm disappointed right now. And just letting myself feel it for that full 90 seconds, maybe there's tears, then it passes through you and releases and processes rather than, again, containing in your soul and oftentimes in ways of resentment and harmful ways.
And when it's your teenage daughter having that difficult emotion, whatever it is, to let her have it for 90 seconds without trying to reassure or fix or right or
exactly not fix, not advise, not make it positive, and tell her what's going on too. I mean, she's into the psychology of it, right? Like I'll be like, hey, actually this just, you know, I've learned just letting yourself feel it for nine, and I'll put it in the I terms, right? It's not like I'm telling her what she should do. There's plenty of shoulds coming at her. I'll be like, hey, yeah, when I feel hard feelings like this, I've learned it just takes about 90 seconds to pass through it. I name it. And then you just model it rather than telling her what she should be doing.
So smart. I'm talking to Chelsea Gooden, the author of Underestimated, and we'll be right back.
Amy, you know me well enough to know that my daily power breakfast is toast with peanut butter on top.
Toast with peanut butter. It's also, by the way, one of my favorite power breakfasts. So we agree on that thing.
We were recently together and we shared some toast with peanut butter. And I'm going to tell you, we used Hero Bread. It adds even more protein and fiber to that combo without adding any more sugar.
Hero Bread has remade the carby, empty calorie bread products into versions that include no net carbs, 0 gram sugar, and fewer calories, plus more protein and fiber, while still being super fluffy and delicious. I was not sure that that particular combination was going to be possible, but Hero Bread has figured it out.
Yeah, this is one I'm glad they let us try. It's like, it really tastes good. I've been trying to add more protein to my diet, and I would have thought that a hamburger rolls was not the place to do that, Amy. But all of Hero Bread's products, from rolls to tortillas to croissants, we please, offer protein and fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs and 0 grams of sugar.
Start your Hero Bread bundle on their website and get 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code MOTHERHOOD at checkout.
I like this bread, people. It's hero.co and code MOTHERHOOD for 10% off your order of Hero Bread.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is Lumen.me, lumen.me, and use the code FRESH at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
So let's talk about perfectionism a little more, because I think that often we're like, the answer to that is that girls should just stop being so perfectionist all the time, right? And then their lives will be better. And yet the noise is there and it's unavoidable. And we as parents often contribute to it, even with the best of intentions, thinking that we're not. We still do. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. And I would say it's really sneaky, super sneaky, because in our brains, we think good grades will help her have success in the world. And the girls already put so much pressure on themselves to get good grades. Like, any other external pressures are just adding it. I find girls have a deep need. They've learned, oh, if I achieve, then I'll be someone in this world. And I actually give way more space to the, who cares what grade you get, you know, that world, which I know is a parenting style. Some choose, some don't. But the amount of girls that I have said, you know, what if you do get a C on that paper? Like, you have nothing to prove to me. I already know how smart and amazing you are. That grade means nothing to me and does not tell me what your worth and value is as a human being. When I say that to girls and really say it, right, they get emotional. They think that I have said something radical to them, that I've broke some societal rules. They're usually so grateful and like, okay. And I think specifically the line of like, you have nothing to prove to me, which is actually ends up being the last line of the book. And that's what they feel like. They have to prove something in order to have worth and value. And that proof could be in their grades. It could be in their looks. It could be in their sports skills, you know, or their some ability they might have. And they feel like they won't have worth unless they achieve in one of those ways. Yeah. And back to kind of the perfection and people pleasing. So there's a story in the book, Marley, who's 15 years old, incredible volleyball player, right? Where she's has excellence. She made the varsity team as a freshman and everyone's so proud of her and affirming her. And I noticed though that she was so stressed out and getting migraines and stomach aches and, you know, volleyball schedule at that level is so intense. And one day I asked her, I was like, "Would you like playing volleyball?" And no one had asked her. She looked at me kind of like, no,
is that supposed to factor in at all if I am enjoying myself?
Yeah. And she's like, "Well, I like that I'm good at it." So we're kind of back to that perfection, people pleasing, where it's so sneaky, right? We think we're affirming this girl who's so amazing at something. And she's like, "Well, I like that I'm good at it." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, you're good at it, but do you like it?" And she said too, she's like, "Well, you know, her mom was a big volleyball star." She's like, "Well, I can bond with my mom about it." And I'm like, "Great. Like, but are you playing it to make everyone else happy?" And she was like, "Oh no." You know, and then I was like, "Well, what light you up? What makes you so happy to just do and spend in your free time?" And she said that she would do fashion sketches on the bus rides to games. And I was like, "Amazing. You know, are you interested in fashion? Would you want to take, I know, this sewing class on the weekends?" And she immediately lit up and was like, "I would love that. Da, da, da." I was like, "Great." We, you know, brought her mom into the conversation. She ended up quitting volleyball, putting all her time there. And she loved it. Her migraines went away. Her stomach aches went away. It was just, it was so interesting how just being good at something doesn't mean you should be doing it. And I do think we're also sneakily teaching girls that you can be good at one thing, like that it, as soon as you are good at something, it really attaches to your identity. And we stop forgetting to ask those questions. And, you know, and fashion's a really good example, because that's one where we dismiss and minimize teenage girls as like their superficial interest in fashion. And that is not what I've seen. I've seen it. They really see it as a really important expression of their identity and the exploration of their identity. And there are plenty of jobs in the fashion industry. I think it's so funny how parents think this is some weird pursuit. And I know way more girls that have incredible jobs in the fashion industry than are like a professional volleyball player, right? And, but we get really focused on what's good for college. And again, this kind of box that everyone's trying to fit their kid in the hopes that they'll be okay. And I get that good intention. But that normal box, I think, is more often harmful in ways we don't realize. Whereas finding out what makes your kid weird and specific is where I think a really cool identity develops.
The idea of giving your girls choice is all through the book, right? Choices on little things and big things. Something that really stuck with me was saying something like, Do you want me to send you a text about that later to remind you instead of just doing it, right? Just today I set, you know, the smart speaker in our house to go off later so that my daughter would remember to do something. And I'm like, I didn't even ask her if she wanted that. And then of course she was like, I don't need that. And so I'm like, okay, I canceled it. Do you need help remembering? I don't need help remembering it. I'm like, okay. Like, it's, I read this book, like, stop.
Great. Oh, this is so good. I love these little moments. Like, this is so good. And then you can also say, you can say to her, okay, great. I trust you to remember it. Because then she'll hear that and be like, oh, she trusts. But yeah, but say it like out loud, right? And then she's like, oh, well, she trusts me to do it. So I really got to deliver this, right? And there's all sorts of little choices. Like, do you want me to do that? Do you want? And the more she has a voice in it, the more it works too, the more it lands, the more it's effective. And then that's really
including cool when there's right? a mistake, because you make a point in the book, people learn from their mistakes, blah, blah, blah. We all know that to be true. And it is, it really is true. But you learn more when it was your choice. I've like circled that, like, right, got it.
Right. So we give them the choice and we hope they make a good one, right? And when they do, they're very empowered by it and find their own voice. But when they make not the best choice and they make a mistake, that's valuable too, because if it had been your choice that you forced her to do, she would have just been like, whatever, you know, you made me do it, and just have blame. But when she owned it and you're like, okay, great, I'm going to trust you, make this choice, and then it doesn't go well, she's like, okay, wow, and really learns the lesson and the mistake from it.
This book ends with the one thing that our teenage daughters most want to hear from us. What is that?
It's an apology, which I did not necessarily see coming. I got to say, that just developed out of me asking lots of questions and they kept bringing it up. And I would say this is not just like a flurry of sorries. This is an amends that is way more heartfelt and really like, hey, did I could be something heavy. Like, I feel like I didn't handle the divorce well, and I just want to say sorry and ask you if you need any type of amends from me. You can even ask, like, do you need amends around that? And the girls, when they brought this up, you know, you can read all their quotes of just saying, I'll never get an apology from my parents. It's all I've ever wanted. I don't think they'll ever be ready for it. Like, they are in a hopelessness about it, actually, which really surprised me. Whereas, you know, the one girl who was like, we all went to therapy and we all learned how to apologize. And it's so amazing. Now she knows how to apologize too. It models behavior for her to own and take responsibility for her mistake, you know, her things too. But it could also be just a small day to day, right? Like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I didn't listen to you just now. Or, hey, I'm sorry, I should have asked you if you wanted that reminder. You know, it can be little too.
Right.
It doesn't have to be some big heavy thing. But, you know, we're all imperfect human beings and we're going to make mistakes. And the more we can heal that for a girl, she feels emotionally safe. And then she will open up more. She'll model that good practice in her own life as well. So I was pretty amazed by the feedback they gave on amends in particular.
Making amends transforms relationships, you say. And I thought, well, I guess that's really true. It's a really important takeaway and one I'm certainly going to think about.
And it liberates you too from old stories. So often we set up a pattern with a girl that has contentious, right? A lot of parents are feeling hopeless. Like, how do I get a restart? That's another cool thing. You can actually say, hey, I read this book. I would love to just have a restart. I've learned some new tools. I'm going to start approaching you differently. I might not trust it right away because it's going to feel really different, but I'm going to try to do things differently and approach you differently. It may look like more of this or that. And I just would love that restart and then ask for it. And then you say it because I'm sorry. I feel like maybe I've messed up a few things. And the girl's going to respect that. I mean, I've seen girls get emotional to something like that when it's really intentional.
I've been talking to Chelsea Gooden. She is the author of the amazing new book, Underestimated: The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. Chelsea, tell us about Democracy and all of your other work.
Right. So I have been, you know, volunteering my time also for girls from underserved communities to go into leadership positions. I also am on the board of A Call to Men, which is all about ending gender-based violence by bringing in men and boys into the conversation. And what does healthy masculinity look like? And how do we help boys feel their emotions too? I mean, I care about the boys too, but it's a different conversation. And I also think that it's very tied to women being able to have a safe voice in the world, right? If women could have ended gender-based violence by now, we would have done it. And we need to incorporate men into this conversation. And I got to say, it's been lovely hearing feedback from dads reading the book. Like, they love it because it's not a bang you over the head type of parenting book. There's a playfulness to it and a levity that I think is creating different types of conversations than you normally would have with your kid.
I will link to both of those nonprofits and Underestimated, of course, in the show notes for this episode. But Chelsea, tell our listeners who might be driving or have their hands busy right now where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah. So I think Instagram's the best, just at Chelsea Gooden. I mean, ChelseaGooden.com. I also do speaking engagements, right? So I've been really speaking in a big way to lots of different audiences, whether it's to teenagers for empowerment or to parents at schools. There's all sorts of different environments. But I believe that the tools I learned from teenage girls can be used with everyone, these communication tools. We could all listen to each other better. We could all have more genuine curiosity without judgment. And that's what a lot of the book is about, is what I learned from these girls.
Chelsea Gooden is the author of Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teenage Girls. Chelsea, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us